to really understand the Zionists and the word games they play, you need to understand the highly deceptive language that they use. I put out a tweet about this. Let me read it for you, and then we'll have a little bit of discussion. How to act like a full-blown Zionist. Number one, everybody you exterminate or kill, you just label them a terrorist. So you see this in Israel with them killing Gazans and civilians, and you know when they blow up a hospital and there's 300 bodies there, they just say, oh, we got 300 terrorists. And then the West dutifully reports 300 terrorists killed, you know? When actually the vast majority of them would be women and children and elderly patients and dialysis patients and maybe young women giving birth at the hospital and so on. But if you're a Zionist, you just label everybody terrorists after killing them. And that way, this is how Netanyahu gets away with saying that they didn't kill any civilians, hardly, because everybody they killed, they just said, well, they're terrorists. Yeah, pretty vicious, malicious way to look at the world, isn't it? Point number two, then, is that anybody who disagrees with you exterminating the so-called terrorists, you just label them anti-Semites. That's right. Even if they don't have anything against Jews. So, you know, I've been falsely smeared as an anti-Semite, even though I've never said that the world should eliminate Jews or to murder or kill or exterminate Jews. Never said any such thing because I don't believe that. I believe that all human beings are God's children. I believe in universal human dignity, human rights, human compassion. But even believing in that, which is, by the way, in perfect alignment with the teachings of Jesus Christ, by the way, right? New Testament, Christ died for our sins. Christ taught love. Christ taught embracing all of God's children way beyond the Israelites, way beyond Jews. But just having that position of Christ will get you labeled an anti-Semite. So understand that Christ would be labeled an anti-Semite for teaching the word of God. And by the way, God himself would be labeled an anti-Semite because he scorned the Israelites throughout the Old Testament, calling them out for their wicked ways, their deception, their slavery, child trafficking, sodomy, homosexual acts, their lack of morality, their greed, their lust, their drunkenness, over and over and over again. I've covered all of this, by the way, in my sermons. I am teaching the Word of God. I'm teaching the Bible. I have completed, I think, 23 sermons so far, headed for 100, and I've covered Old Testament and New Testament. And there I've quoted the chapter and verse that I'm referring to here, because this is repeatedly throughout the Old and New Testament, what I'm telling you here. This isn't just me making it up. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God, and you can find it in the Bible and confirm it for yourself. So there are other words that Zionists use to deceive, and that is to say that when they bomb a neighborhood and just destroy and kill everybody and everything, they say they deleted it. We just deleted it, just got deleted. You see this in the words of prominent so-called Christian pastors who are Zionists, or like Israeli Zionist pastors. They say, well, we deleted that neighborhood. Isn't that good? We deleted it. Or they'll say, we eliminated those people. They got eliminated. Well, they mean kill. And by deleting a neighborhood, they mean they bombed it into rubble and probably have women and children buried under the rubble. So they use all kinds of deceptive terminology in order to try to sanitize their murderous ways. They are mass murderers. They are carrying out genocide. They are carrying out atrocities against humankind. But they don't want to use the words to honestly admit it, so they deceive with their false words. Now, you might wonder, how do they justify this to themselves? Don't they tell themselves that they're good people? And yes, they do. They do. So how do they justify it? Well, they say that God promised them this land. And what land? Oh, Greater Israel, which is all of modern day Iraq and Syria and Jordan and much of Egypt and much of Lebanon and what else? Yemen. You know, it's this mass expanse. And did I say Afghanistan? I forgot Afghanistan. All of that, they say, that's theirs. And they say, God promised it to us. And they can cite some passages in their, you know, in the Torah or in the Old Testament, they can say, well, look, God said, I will lead you to the promised land. It's your land. And therefore, they say, now, more than 2,000 years later, they say, well, since God promised this land to us as descendants of Abraham, then we, they say, this is what they tell themselves, we have the right to do anything we want to the people who are on this land. We can murder them, we can rape them, torture them, sodomize them in the torture prisons, which is what they do in Israel. They say we can kill them, we can steal their land. We don't have to recognize them as humans. We don't have to give them voting rights, but we'll call ourselves the greatest democracy in the Middle East, even when Palestinians have no recognition, no right to vote, under the Israeli control grid system, right? No right to even exist, no right to electricity or water or food or their own land, nothing. So this is what the Zionists push. They say that God gave them the right to commit genocide. They're not even arguing that they're not killing people. This, just to be clear, they admit they're killing people. They admit they are murdering all kinds of people. They just say, well, they're terrorists. And God gave us the right to kill terrorists. So you see how the language is all twisted around so they can justify their heinous war crimes and acts of mass genocide, mass violence against humanity. And then again, anybody who points this out, labeled an anti-Semite. You know, like Candace Owens or others, just labeled an anti-Semite. This is their con. And it's not even a very clever con. And then whatever weak-minded Christians in America go along with this, they become Christian Zionists because they're weak, they don't have their own critical thinking, they go along with Team Israel without considering what that means. And so that's how the Christian churches in America, many of them, end up supporting genocide. And then they wonder, like, you know, how did the Holocaust happen in history? Look in the mirror. You're how it happened. People like you. Because you stood back and you did nothing. Or, in fact, you applauded or advocated the mass killing of people. And you justified it by saying that God gave you permission. Come on. Nothing new under the sun. This is the same history repeating itself. It's just that instead of like evil Nazis in 1939, now it's you in 2024 looking in the mirror, justifying genocide to yourself. I don't mean you listening to this. Most of you listening to this, you're not in that camp. I'm talking about maybe some Christian Zionists in America who might listen to this out of curiosity, wondering like, what is this about? Well, this is about telling the truth about people like you. You are advocates of murder. You are advocates of genocide. And you may call yourself a Christian, but you actually worship Moloch. You worship Satan. You are Satanists. If you support what Israel is doing in the Middle East today, you are a Satanist. And we could quote literally thousands of examples across the Bible easily that would point out the evil of what Israel is doing today. And I was just teaching a sermon on 1 Timothy. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is Paul the Apostle's letter to Timothy, trying to instruct Timothy on how to instruct the wicked citizens of Ephesus, or as I say, Ephesus, because that's from that name of the city. That's where Ephesians comes from. But anyway, here, Paul writes to him. He says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, not just the Jews. Okay, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. All men, not just the Jews. Okay? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, that is, he died on the cross for the sins of all people, to be testified in due time, meaning to be recognized by different people on their different timelines, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. He says, okay, so that's chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. Again, those are the words of Paul to Timothy. What is he saying? And Paul says this again and again and again. I'm not trying to turn this into its own sermon, just pointing out, Paul said to Timothy, and he said to the Ephesians, and he said to the Corinthians and many others, he said, look, this is the New Testament, folks. Christ died for our sins, all our sins, all people, all God's children all over this earth. That includes the Gentiles. It includes, by the way, people of other faiths. It includes those of Islam. It does. It does. Who, Paul says, should be welcomed to come to Christ, to recognize Christ. This is why he says, to be testified in due time. Whenever that realization happens for all the different people all over the world, when the time is right for them to recognize Christ. This is the teaching of Paul. And he repeatedly tells the various members of these churches in Corinth and other cities and towns, he says, stop doing the silly rituals of the ancient Israelites. He even says in Timothy, he says, you don't have to focus on kosher foods. He says, all foods from God are the blessings upon our world. You can eat pork, you can eat meat, you can eat fruits, you can, I mean, he doesn't name them like that, but that's what he means. It's very clear. He says, you don't have to follow these ancient rituals of the Jews and the Israelites. Like, that's Old Testament. That was centuries ago. He says, this is the New Testament, and under the New Testament, we eat all the blessings that God gives us, all the different foods, as long as we do so mindfully and with prayer. And our tool in the world is love, not war. So you might say the Old Testament, the tool was war. There's a lot of killing going on in the Old Testament. You know, kill the Egyptians, you know, the murder the citizens of Jerusalem, and just on and on. Oh, here come the Babylonians. No! You know, swords, you know, die by the sword all throughout the Old Testament, right? That's the system that Zionists live under, because that's what they still study, is the old books of the Old Testament. They don't generally recognize Christ in the New Testament, which is about peace, and it's about love, and it's about acceptance. Now, I know there are exceptions to this. I am kind of simplifying the situation, but by and large, the Zionists out there are living in the Old Testament. They just want to kill, murder, destroy, exterminate, and then they say, well, they're all terrorists, and if you oppose us, you're an anti-Semite. But if we listen to the New Testament and we listen to the words of Paul the Apostle, then we realize all of that, that stuff that the Zionists are pushing is completely outdated. We don't have to live in a world of mass murder and violence and genocide and ethnic cleansing and killing and bombing of apartment buildings and killing women and children. No, this is the New Testament. Christ already paid the toll for all our sins to set all people free on planet Earth. And all we have to do is now live under that teaching, which is based on compassion. It's based on giving to your local community. It's based on acting with morals, acting with integrity. Don't show up to church dressed like a whore. That's in 1 Timothy. Don't show up to church all drunk. And if you're a pastor or a minister of the church, don't be steeped in greed and financial trappings and thinking you're going to get rich by being in the church. You know, all these things. It's the same lessons then as it is now, by the way. But we are living in the New Testament era, in essence. You know, everything from Christ forward. That's the time we're living in now. We don't have to murder our neighbors in order to follow the word of God. In fact, if we murder our neighbors, we are not following the word of God. We are Satanists. Do not murder your neighbors. Now, granted, if you live in a neighborhood and let's say one member of somebody in your neighborhood comes over, breaks into your home, and starts shooting up the place, it is self-defense to shoot them in that moment to stop them, stop their violence, and to protect your family on your property. That's self-defense. But what Israel is doing is the equivalent of then marching out of your home down the street with a mob and setting fire to like 10 homes, of like setting fire to a whole neighborhood, burning it all down and burning the children and women alive, and then calling that self-defense. And then when the bodies are recovered out of the ashes, you say, well, they were terrorists. That's what Israel is doing. That is not self-defense. It is wholly dishonest. It is pure evil. It's rooted in Luciferianism, not the teachings of God or the teachings of Christ. So we must be people of peace. And for those who label us anti-Semites because we are people of peace, because we seek to help those in need, because we seek to protect the innocent, because we value human dignity and human life, anyone who labels us an anti-Semite is themselves admitting that they worship Satan, that they work for Satan. Otherwise, they could not utter such false words or bear such false witness against men and women of peace who are simply calling for the universal right of human dignity and human life, something that the Zionists do not recognize. Lastly, let me add this. Folks, for many, many years, well, decades really, people encouraged me to read the Bible. And for most of those decades, I utterly failed to do so. Because I thought, well, a few times I opened it and tried to read it, and I was like, oh my, how do I make sense of this? This is crazy. And I made the mistake of starting with Genesis. And it's like, oh, what is this family tree? What is all the, I don't need this entire log of who beget who, you know? Don't start with the Old Testament, it turns out. And what you need is, well, let me back up and say, the Bible will change your life if you understand it. It's not about just reading it, just having the words cross your eyes and your mind. It's like, oh, I read it, you know? But understanding it is something incredibly important. When you understand it, so much becomes clear about our modern world. So much becomes clear. The Bible is a timeless, dare I say, palantir. That's from like Lord of the Rings. It's like a gazing ball. Maybe I shouldn't mix like the occult with the Bible. I apologize. What I'm saying is it's like a way to gaze into reality, like to see the world in a whole new way. Okay, I take back the palantir. That's a bad metaphor. It's something better than that. It's like God clearing away the cobwebs from your eyes. When you read the Bible and really understand it, and I suggest you start in the New Testament, and by the way, don't even start just word for word reading it. There are so many incredible ways to get the big picture first and then read it. One of those, by the way, let me plug these guys, BibleProject.com. Yeah, that's who they are. I'm bringing it up. Go to BibleProject.com and then click on Watch at the top of the site. And then you have Old Testament and New Testament overviews. And so, you know, there are 66 books in the Bible, at least in the way that modern Christians define it, 66 books. Each of these 66 books is covered with kind of like a flowchart video at this website, Bible Project. And so if you want to go through Galatians or Ephesians or Thessalonians, whatever, or 1 Timothy, like I was just teaching, you can go there. And you can watch typically like a 7, 8, 9 minute overview of that book. And I strongly recommend you do this, even if you've read those books word for word. Why? Because there's context and there's structure to the way these books are written. You know, for example, if you go try to read Jeremiah is crazy long. Like, what's going on here? Well, you got to realize that the last, you know, third or whatever, quarter, whatever it is just a bunch of poems. This is like poems of praise. Well, you don't have to read word for word every poem in order to understand what Jeremiah is trying to say. And he's trying to warn the people of the kingdom of Judah and, frankly, you know, the ancient Israelites and mostly the people of Jerusalem about their wicked ways. You don't have to read all the poems to figure that out. You can get the picture of the Bible and understand what it's saying by first grokking, let's say, the structure of it. So get big overviews and big summaries first. And then from that, if you want to read word for word, it will make so much more sense. And I recommend, I mean, I usually cite from the New King James Version of the Bible because the language is so much easier for modern people to understand instead of like, thou was doth, you know, all this ancient language that is, it's in the way. So the New King James Version of the Bible, I know some of you purists will say, well, it's not, you know, 100%. It's not a faithful reproduction in every way. I get that. You're probably right. But I don't read Hebrew, okay? And so I'm going to read the version that gives me sort of the best overall impression and imparts the most information. And New King James Version is one of the many really useful versions, so I recommend that. And there's also a really great website, which is BibleGateway.com. Just go to BibleGateway.com, and you can just plug in any book. Like, just type in the search bar. You want to read, like, the book of Hebrews or Proverbs or whatever, and it'll just pull it up, and you can start plugging away, and you can see the table of contents and go through it. What's beautiful about the church and the teachings of the Bible today is that most of the resources are free, because the church, you know, normally operates obviously in a non-commercial fashion. It's giving back to society. So I can only imagine, like, BibleProject.com, I don't know how many, you know, millions of dollars they must have spent with all these intricate animations and flowcharts and explanations, but it's a really well done site. You know what? I mean, I should donate to them, frankly, and maybe I will. But there are so many great resources out there, and you should take advantage of them. Anyway, my overall point is, if you want to understand humanity today, it's not even a big secret that there's nothing new under the sun. That the same things that human beings are doing today, you know, murder and genocide or greed or wickedness or sodomy or child trafficking, whatever, all the sins, all the drunkenness, all the, you know, transgressions against God, all of this is covered in the Bible. Because as I said in a recent sermon, I said, if you want to summarize the whole Bible, really, this is my opinion. This, and I admit, this is a very, very short summary. Basically, the entire Bible is God telling humanity, stop being dicks, right? That's kind of the big summary. Just stop being dicks. Stop being horrible people. And, you know, you can break it down book by book, and then chapter, and then verse, and all the different ways that all the different apostles and all the different ways that God, and then through Moses, and everybody's just telling people, stop being dicks. I know that's probably not a very Christian way to describe the summary of the Bible, but it's true. It's true. It's like I said in 1 Timothy. What is he saying? I forgot this chapter 3, I think. He's saying, hey, women, stop coming to church dressed like whores. It's like, okay, that's the summary. Yeah, we get it. The whole book, the whole Bible is telling people to stop being evil. Really, stop being wicked, you know, and find some morality, find the courage to speak the truth and act with righteousness and walk in the path that Christ laid out for you and just operate with integrity. So it's a very, very important book to understand in order to really grasp modern day geopolitics. If you want to understand what the Zionists are doing or why they're doing it, you got to read the Old Testament. And it's a vengeful God. It's a God of wrath, a God that kills routinely kills. I remember covering the sermon. Was it, it was either Numbers or Deuteronomy. Some of you will know better. I don't have the whole thing memorized yet, but there's one scene where Moses is telling all the Israelites that are traveling with him through the wilderness as he's leading them to the promised land of milk and honey, right? And he's telling them, you know, that God's really unhappy with you because you're all complaining about the manna. And he says, you should get 250 of your men and you should burn incense outside the tabernacle because God is in the tabernacle. You know, God has all these specific rules, like don't enter the tabernacle if you're filthy and dirty, wearing too much laundry detergent or something like that. that's my interpretation. A little bit of humor. Okay. So Moses is telling these guys, show up with the incense. So 250 Israelites show up with the incense. And then a couple other things happen. And then God basically says, I'm just going to roast you all with a giant fireball. And he does. He just burns them all to death with a giant fireball. Kills all the men with the incense, and then opens up the ground, and more people fall to their deaths in a giant gap. You know, the ground opens up, and then it closes over them, and so they're just consumed alive by the earth. And God's like, next, you know. that's the Old Testament God right there. And that's the kind of God that the Jewish tradition actually worships and studies. So to understand what's happening in Israel today, you got to understand the vengeful version of God that they study. The wrath, the murder, the killing, and the justification of it. It's all right there in the Old Testament. I don't think you can understand Israel today if you don't read the Old Testament. And then you need to read the New Testament so that you can understand why we don't have to live that way any longer. Why we can actually live in love and acceptance and peace, which Jesus and his disciples taught over and over and over again. Peace. So there you go. That's my argument for, you know, reading the Bible. Now, forgive me if I've misquoted any chapter or verse. I'm doing my best. Like I said, I don't have it all memorized. It's going to be a while. But I'm learning, and I'm genuinely working to walk in the footsteps of what Christ laid out to us with each day, to have that moral courage and to speak the truth with righteousness and with faith. And, you know, again, where is it in Timothy where he says that we should call out those in the church who are operating in sin? I got to find that. Okay, here it is. Chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses." In other words, don't automatically believe something bad about somebody else. But, verse 20, "Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear." He's saying, call out the sinners. Call them out publicly. Don't just look the other way. "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." It's basically, don't put your head in the sand and remain silent. You know, speak the truth with righteousness and faith. And in verse 24, "Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden." Very powerful, right? He's like, sometimes it's obvious that some people are evil. When they're calling for murder and genocide and ethnic cleansing and so on, these are major, major violations. It's the murder and destruction of the children of God. Clearly evident, and they will be judged by God. And then some people pretend to do good works, but they're really evil underneath it all. And ultimately, those cannot be hidden and will also be judged by God. Very powerful. Anyway, check it out yourself. Again, the two resources I mentioned are BibleProject.com and also BibleGateway.com. And of course, get yourself a Bible so that you can read it after you understand the structure. If you haven't already read it, you know, get the structure first, then read it word for word, and it will make a ton of sense. The most important book ever written for our world. All right. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here. Take care. All right, this is Mike Adams here. We're going to talk about all these different forms of gold and silver today. Let me give you my website too. Some of these companies that offer these are sponsors, and we disclose the links and the sponsors and the discount codes at rangerdeals.com. So here you can see, like, here's the Prepper Bar sponsor. Here's our lab verified Goldbacks sponsor or affiliate. And then if you scroll down, this is our Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. And let's start over here with this pile of silver spoons and stuff. And yes, you could trade these, you know, in some kind of barter situation, but it's not a format that is easy to know how much it's worth. Next to that, we have so-called junk silver coins here. These happen to be dimes. And this is also called constitutional silver, but this is another form of silver that can be very popular. You can get these from our sponsor here, which is the right here, Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. Then you've got silver bars here. So this is a 0.999 silver bar. I don't know, that's a pretty big chunk of silver right there. It's a way to store bulk silver. So not such a great form for everyday commerce. Next, we go to silver coins. So these are 1 ounce silver rounds. They're quite beautiful and easily recognizable. These are available from different mints all over the world. If you want to get these coins, also, you can go to the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. They are a sponsor of ours.
and you can check their prices in real time. They've got them available, insured, discreet delivery straight to your door. Now, then the next one, this is the newest one. These are the prepper bars right here. So these are designed to where you can just break off a chunk like this so it's divisible, right? And these prepper bars come in this format. It's a plastic case with a very nice design of the eagles on one side, and then on the back is, it tells you how many ounces. And so this is available now at prepperbar.com, and you use discount code RANGER, and you'll save 10% off of these bars. They also are selling gold bars in the same way, where you can break them off and make them highly divisible. So this is useful in a collapse scenario, or a barter, or a, you know, farmer's market, local commerce type of scenario where you need to break down the metal and you need to make it into, you know, some kind of recognizable, divisible amount. That's a good way to do that. All right, now moving on, then we have gold coins over here. Obviously, these gold coins are worth, you know, a couple $1,000s each, a little bit more, 1 ounce gold coins. But again, hard to break down, because how do you chop one into 1,000 pieces? The answer to that is these gold bags. And each one of these has 1/1000th of an ounce of gold literally in it. It's embedded in the bill. And these are available at verifiedgoldbacks.com. So goldbacks make gold divisible, tradable. Again, if you want to know our sponsors and our sources or affiliates in this realm, go to rangerdeals.com and you can see a lot of other special deals that we have for you. Just go to rangerdeals.com and you'll see what we have available for you, the discount codes we've put together. Thank you for your support. Take care.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.